Yes, Holy Spirit, we're just so grateful to you. You're so good. We honor your presence here. And again, we just lay our belief systems before you. And we want to allow you, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, to bring revelation to our hearts and to touch our hearts this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just a quick, short overview of what we talked about last Sunday. The scripture that was our focus was Psalm 102, 18 to 22. Write all this down for the coming generation so recreated people will read it and praise the Lord. Tell them how Yah looked down from his high and holy place, gazing from his glory to survey the earth. He listened to all the groaning of his people longing to be free and set loose the sons of death to experience life. Multitudes will stream to Jerusalem to praise the Lord and to declare his name in Zion. And I presented a view from Bill Johnson and Roger on this passage, and this is what we said, that this is actually prophesying the coming new creation in Christ after death, after the death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus. Worship is one of the most powerful evangelistic tools as it shifts the atmosphere so people change the way they think. And it was God who put worship and praise on the lips of his recreated people. There's coming this generation of recreated people who will not stop praising the Lord Jesus for all that he's accomplished until the full and complete manifestation of everything God promised, including the subjection of the last enemy to be destroyed, which is death. Then we ask, what does this new creation look like that would make this praise so powerful? This isn't Adam just restored, but it's a brand new creation. We've become the righteousness of God. Our old identity, our old Adamic nature, has been nailed to the cross, co-crucified with Christ and co-resurrected with Christ, co-made alive, ascended, and seated in heavenly places in Christ, in union with him. Now, we work from righteousness, not for righteousness. We work from approval, not for approval. We work from love, not for love. And we're a kingdom of priests, meaning we're a worshiping people, not in the sense of something we do, but in the sense of who we are. The Greek word for new creation is kainos, and it means beyond human, living in divine union with God, with a limitless capacity to grow, a new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of, never before experienced. This is who we are. Sorry, I didn't keep up with myself there. Today, I want to emphasize that worship is all about intimate connection with God. Abba Father, Jesus, our bridegroom and lover, and Holy Spirit, our intimate friend. It's all about a love relationship with the Godhead. It's all about union with him. We are recreated sons and daughters who radically receive Abba Father's love. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We first receive his love, then we love him back with the love he gives us. Now, there is the truth that when we receive him, we receive love because he is love. But truth is always held in tension. There's the aspect of growing in love and growing in our capacity to receive love to the point where any resistance to love is removed. I want to share a little bit about the brain. The brain has five levels. I want to specifically address two levels. And that is the attachment center and the joy center. A baby, a newborn baby, and as the baby's growing in the first year or two, that baby, looking into the eyes of his parents or her, that baby is attaching to his or her parents. They're receiving love and receiving training in joy. The attachment center is actually right here. The joy center is right here in the front, the center of your forehead. Parents and babies are attaching to each other, enjoying each other, taking pleasure in each other when they look into each other's eyes and interact with each other. If there's not proper attachment, the joy center is not properly formed. In Scripture, the presence, when we talk about the presence of God, presence is interchangeable with face. When we're in his manifest presence, we're in the face of God. So in the natural, a baby attaches to his parents while receiving love messages of love and joy, and the joy center is formed through face-to-face encounter with parent. We're communicating love and training the infant in joy through eye contact, through facial expressions, and through tone of voice. Could it be true that we need to have that kind of attachment and training in joy with our Abba Father? I would suggest that we can experience that love attachment and that training of joy. It says in Psalm 16, in my presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, at my right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. So the greatest description of love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This chapter describes God's love. In fact, this chapter describes God, because love is who God is, not just what he does. We've been talking about doing coming from our being. The same holds true for God. He loves because that's who he is. He's a lover. He heals because that's who he is. He is healer. He saves because that's who he is. He's savior. He redeems because that's who he is. He's redeemer. The Aramaic word, the Aramaic language was what you would call the common language of the Hebrew people at the in the time of Jesus. So in the Aramaic word for love is huba, which also means to set on fire. The concept is burning love or fiery love coming from the depths of the heart as eternal energy, an active power of bonding hearts and lives in secure relationships. Doesn't that sound like attaching? We are meant to attach to God as Father, to Jesus as lover, and his intimate friend. Now the Greek word, agape, which is the one word we're more familiar with, describes the highest form of love God has for his people. It's an intense affection that must be demonstrated. It is a loyal, endless, and unconditional commitment of love. Not abstract, not unemotional, but devoted to demonstrating the inward feelings of love. And this love has the power to transform. It's a force. It's a power. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, because of his great love, He ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children so that his tremendous grace that cascades over us would bring him glory. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. Abba Father loves us in the same way he loves Jesus. One of the truths that really impacted my heart from Andy Hainer's book, Your Place in the Sun, is the matter of adoption. Andy Hainer himself was adopted, and he also adopted a son. He experienced firsthand all the things that are required in an adoption process, as people like Brian and Ruth and Matt and Sabrina would be. He writes this: God adopted us as children into his family at a great cost to himself. When it comes to adoption, the law is either your greatest ally or your greatest enemy. Because of the cross, for those who believe in him, the rights of the law are on our side. It says, to as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. This is a matter of law. The blood of Christ has forever settled the matter of legal custody. We are God's children by the price of his blood. Your feelings, your doubts, your opinions don't matter one bit. But for love to thrive, it has to be secure. It's got to be legal, and it's got to be permanent. Through the cross, Jesus met all the legal requirements for our adoption as sons. And justice has been served so we can take his place in God's family, the place of a son. And I'm going to just keep on referring to son instead of saying sons and daughters all the time. It's in the same way as men are the bride of Christ, women are the sons of God as well. And that doesn't mean that I won't ever say son and daughters. I do. But just for the sake of it, it helps in speaking to be able to just say son. Jesus has lived in the embrace of Abba Father for all eternity. Abba Father is completely delighted in his son, Jesus. The Father declares his delight and affirmation of his son before he did a single act of ministry on earth. Jesus did not do ministry to earn his Father's approval. His ministry was the overflow. It was the overflow of intimate relationship that he enjoyed with his Father. Now, Jesus' affirmation from the Father is your affirmation. God is giving Jesus Christ's relationship with him to you as your relationship with him. This love is outrageous. We are meant to have face-to-face encounter with this love again and again by experience. And as we experience that love, we also experience the joy and the delight that our Abba has in us. And that joy he has in us is our strength. Head knowledge, theological knowledge is not enough. It does not cut it. We were created to be loved and to love and to come to know this love by by experience. And as we grow in his love, our capacity to receive his love also increases. Ephesians 3, 16 to 20, in the Amplified Version says this: May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by his Holy Spirit, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far above all that we could ask, think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Let me just refer back to that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God and may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. I believe this scripture implies that experiencing his love and being filled with his love is also to be filled with presence. And I propose to you that your soul and your body is meant to experience the love of God. Your body contains messages that you've received throughout your life. Some of them good, some of them not so good. And your body, the cells of your body, actually send either love signals to your brain or fear signals. And I would propose to you, you have received the DNA of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your body is meant to receive the love messages that he holds in himself. In order to be filled and flooded with God himself, he wants the cells of your body to be filled and flooded with love. Then, so there's this individual receiving, but we're a body. He wants us as a corporate body to encounter his love corporately, so that we will be filled corporately with his love and with his presence. So the cells of our corporate body will send love messages, love signals instead of fear signals. But it has to come this way before it can go this way. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2, Some of this might, I don't know, to some of you, this might make you a little uncomfortable to hear it in this way. Smother me with kisses, your spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses or your loves, which means all kinds of love, saving love, healing love, forgiving love, mother love, father love, bridal love. His love is so infinite, one word cannot describe it. So kind are your caresses and your loves. I drink them in like sweetest wine. Your love is better than sweetest wine. Ancient expositors saw the implication as being that God's lovers will be drunk with love. The word for kiss is nashak, which can also mean to equip or arm for battle. This implies that we need his kisses, we need his loves to become equipped for battle or for life's challenges. Now we said one of the Greek words, or is it Hebrew? I think it's Hebrew. One of the Hebrew words for praise in the book of Psalms is halal. This word means to be clamorously foolish, spin around under the influence of violent emotion. Does that sound a little bit like drunkenness? Ephesians 5, verses 18 and 19. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again. Do not be under the influence of the wine of this world, but be continuously, again and again, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the footnotes says, be inebriated in the Spirit's fullness. It is the Holy Spirit who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. I propose to you that being intoxicated with God's love, being intoxicated with the wine of the Holy Spirit, is not foolishness, but is actually wisdom. It is our strength, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, one of the things that I have heard from many speakers in different streams was that we are to love ourselves in the same way that He loves us. For me, that was at first a little bit hard to imagine. How could I love myself in the same way that He loves me? You see, we can only give away what we receive. So first of all, we receive His love so that we can love Him back with that love, but also so that we can love ourselves with that love and then love others as we love ourselves. Learning, my point is this, learning to receive love from Abba Father is foundational to worship. Again, you can only give away what you've received. Not to say that you can't express love. He also receives your love even when it's weak and immature. But we want to grow in that capacity and be filled with all the fullness of God. This week, as I was preparing, I was overwhelmed with the love of God a number of times. In the last couple of years, one of the things that has bubbled up inside of me is just an awareness of different areas of self-hatred. And I thought, what? Where does this come from? But I believe the Holy Spirit was just bringing it up and allowing me to see that. See, His love comes to set you free from rejection, from shame, low self-esteem, self-hatred. And I just had a sense that maybe some of you sometimes struggle with a self-hatred now and again. Maybe some of you struggle with hating your body. Do you know God loves your body? He wants your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. He died for spirit, soul, and body. Just want to read a couple of verses, or a little, maybe just a few phrases from John 17. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and be perfectly united, that the world may know and recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. And then verse 26 says, that the love which you have bestowed upon me might be in them, felt in their hearts. Felt in their hearts. This is talking about experiencing His love. So this morning, I just want to welcome you to open up your hearts. And I want to just play a song. If you could put that song on, Dan. And you know, I think I'm going to ask the worship team if they would go up right away as well.
You were a lover before time's beginning, and you gave your love freely, withholding nothing. Jesus, my Jesus, you carried the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you stopped at nothing to prove you were for us. Jesus, my Jesus, it's extravagant, it doesn't make sense, we'll never comprehend. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you'd go to say you love us.
If you guys could just play in the background for a bit, would that be okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Abba Father, we just release your love here right now. I release your love over every person. When he pulls you close, when he pulls me close, I won't resist it. Holy Spirit, we invite you to remove those things that would resist the love of Abba Father. You know, one of the other things that I experienced when I would come before the face of the Father, I had a hard time seeing an expression of pleasure. It was like a sense of disappointment instead of pleasure. But I have found that as I've encountered his love again and again, that's shifting. I don't know what kind of things you have in your heart that when you think of God, or when you have a sense of his presence, do you have a sense of disappointment? Do you have a sense of pleasure? Do you have a sense of delight? So Father, I just release over every person a sense of delight that Abba Father sees you as in Christ. And the same delight that he has over his son Jesus, he has over you.
Let me love you. Oh, hey.
I just have a sense to invite you. There's a scripture that says his banner over us is love. And what I just have a sense to invite you, if you would like to come, well, just walk under the banner and with your hearts opening, totally open to receive a greater measure of his love and for the capacity for you to receive love to be increased. Just invite you. Abba, Father, we set our hearts to face-to-face encounter with you. And I just ask for a release this week and on into this year, 2018. I just ask for an accelerated increase of encounter with your love again and again, so we would be rooted and grounded in your love as individuals, as families, and as a body. Thank you, Jesus. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask, hope, think, dream, and desire. So even right now, we ask for individual refilling of your Holy Spirit again and again. For Holy Spirit, it's you who sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. And it's you who makes the fatherhood of God real to us. Thank you, we're no longer orphans. We're no longer slaves. We're not slaves to rejection. We're not slaves to self-hatred. We're not slaves to those old messages any longer. We decree just the cells of our bodies and our souls, our minds, wills, and emotions opened afresh to receive your messages of love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so I just want to release you to go whenever you feel free. If anybody wants prayer, I think there's going to be a prayer team up here. Or maybe you just want to keep on. Yeah. If anyone wants to just come up here and just soak in Abba's love, feel free to do that. But you're also just free to leave. Thank you, Jesus.